Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to everybody. Y'all look great today with Jack Frost nipping at your nose. It's a little cold out there today, but we're gonna heat it up this morning with this word. I'm going to give you this word, and I'm going to preface it and give you some background here in just a minute. But I'm going to preach this morning about a subject that a lot of people don't preach about anymore in America. In fact, there's a lot of things people don't preach about anymore in America because we become so, so sophisticated and we're more educated today. We don't need these Bible basics anymore. We need to go deeper into the things of God. How many of y'all know there's some truths that we need to stay in line with and continue to have before our eyes and understand those things? And that's what I'm going to show you in just a minute. You say, what is that? Well, just hang on. But in my time of prayer and getting ready for this message, the Lord spoke these words to me. I want to read them to you. And as always, I want you to pray over them. He said, America, you're playing the game of Russian roulette. You think the odds of winning are in your favor. You're deceived. The chamber is full, and your decision to play the game is fatal. Why can't you see the carnage, the damage, the decay, the destruction that has happened to your American dream? Why can't you reason with me, says the Lord, and repent of your sins and abandon your iniquities? Haven't I proven my love for you? Oh, my preachers, where are you? Who has silenced you? Who has lied to you and deceived and convinced you to preach another gospel? Do you not care for the souls of men? In this hour, says your God, the Lord of the harvest, I am raising up true prophets within your land that are spotless, never branded by man, but sealed with my Holy Ghost. And they will lead my people in righteousness. Forged in the fire, forsaken by man, these firebrands will do my will and set the nations ablaze with my glory. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to minister this message to whomever you would give me the humble honor and ability to speak to. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the power of your spirit, for unction. And I pray that, Father, we would have ears to hear and we receive this message in the total reality of what it is. Let it be penetrating, an indelible mark upon our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray and I praise you for it. Amen and amen. Very powerful words. Do read them again. Do pray over them. Concerning America and the things that are going on, obviously, but also the fact that there is an indictment against the preachers of the house, the preachers of this hour that refuse to preach what's on the heart of God. We preach like we're in a reality show. We preach like we've asked a survey of what you think should be preached and what you feel. And preachers today are preaching messages of pulse and impulse and feelings and cultural. And what does the people think? I personally don't care what you think. When it come on, somebody, don't growl. I heard somebody growl. I personally don't care what folks think in the essence of what's to be preached. What I care is that you do what you hear and be a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. That's what I care. I care that you produce fruit and that you stand before an almighty God with a clear conscience, both now and in eternity. That's all I care about, that your fruit would remain, that when you go through the fire of judgment, you'd have something to give them. And I'd like for you to make it. Is anybody here today? I'm going to help push you over so you will make it. Come on, somebody. That's my job. My job is to preach the word of the Lord. And so this morning, my assignment is to preach on something that folks really don't want to talk about anymore, And it all began on this past Friday, and I put this out on Facebook, and I didn't know I was going to be preaching it this morning because I don't ever try to calculate what I'm supposed to preach. I just say, Lord, what do you want me to preach? But he brought into my remembrance of what I just released on Facebook, and it all goes to the passing of Lisa Marie Presley, and the daughter of Elvis, as we all know, and many people are still talking about it and shocked in the sadness of the passing of this icon, if you will, the daughter of an icon. And he spoke to my heart. It was around 1 a.m. when I got up, and I did not know of the passing. I did know that she had had heart attack, and we all read that as well. And immediately I went into prayer asking for her salvation. I do not know the condition of her eternal life, but I still prayed. And any time that I hear of these situations, I do my best to pray that way, because salvation is greater than healing. What good's healing going to do if you ain't saved? Because most times when people get healed, they continue in their sin if they're not saved. And so I pray for salvation, but I did not know that she passed. And when I woke up on that early morning, as those of you who have the Facebook page can see, the Lord spoke to me. I could not go back to sleep. He spoke to me these words. He said, eternity is not an option. Eternity is not an option. And continuously, strongly, and very plainly, he kept repeating that in my mind, kept rehearsing those words. As again, I was devastated by the impact of somebody so young at 54 years old, such success and wealth and all the legacy that is there, and could write a ticket in any situation to wealth and prosperity. Just an amazing person as far as that's concerned. But eternity is not an option. And as I dwelt in my mind and listened to the Lord, he began to show me that folks in the world, life in general, people on this planet, including believers, are not focusing on eternity. We're focusing on now. We're locked and sealed with, what can I get? How am I going to pay my bill next week? How am I going to satisfy my flesh and pleasure myself today? And it riveted in my heart. It just struck me so hard that eternity is not an option. Man thinks that eternity is an option because they're not worried about eternity. Man thinks that he can opt out of it, like you're opting out of a medical insurance policy. I'll take dental, but I'll opt out of vision. Is anybody here? And we live a life here in the United States of America and the land of plenty. And this message is not just for us, it's for all. But we live a life that we have so much stuff, and we're so stagnated and so paralyzed by prosperity and wealth and the pursuit of happiness, that we forget the light of eternity and what's going to happen when we pass from this place. Now, even if we're born again and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there ought to be some care and concern about judgment as far as what I've done in this body for him. And so as far as a believer, I'm secured, and I understand that I have nothing to fear in that area of eternity. But I do have to stand before an almighty God someday. And especially as a pastor, I am responsible for the faces and the names and the folks of life whom I intercede with, if you will, or intersect in their life. I'm responsible for what I tell them. And can I give you a shocking revelation? So are you. And so this morning, as I was asking him what he wanted me to preach, he brought that right back up to me. Eternity is not an option. Eternity is not an option. You don't choose not to go. I'm going to preach this whether you like me or not, or your false teeth are just hanging out. We're going to preach this thing because I can feel resistance already, and I love it. I do resistance preaching. That's where I do the best. When it's easy, butter, hot knife stuff, I don't like that kind of preacher, man. I want to plow. I'm a mule, Mark. I plow. Is anybody? He said, "Hey, man, brother, you're a mule." Eternity is not an option. We're going to preach about that this morning. I want you to go to Luke chapter 16. My goodness gracious, Pastor got saved. He's in the New Testament. That's what somebody on the radio is probably saying, listening. Luke chapter 16. I'm going to preach on the subject of eternity, and I'm going to preach on the subject of hell. H-E double hockey stick. If you can't say hell and you're too afraid to, it's in the Bible. We don't talk about that today in the American church because it's taboo. We don't want to offend Brother Big Bucks or Sister Broadbottom or Brother Bucket Mouth in the house. We want to talk about money. We want to talk about how good looking we are and the swagger that we have. Come on, somebody better help me because I'm ornery this morning. Because I got a message that I need to tell the world that every preacher ought to be preaching on this Sunday morning. Whether you think it's your assignment or not, we need to talk about hell. We need to talk about eternity. Well, I'm saved. I don't need to hear it. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. You need to hear about it, and you will hear about it. Well, I'll just turn you off. Well, I'll turn it back on. Sure wish I had the power to do that. Wouldn't it be nice? I can't get off WLHR 92.1. Every time I push a button, it goes right back to it. Isn't that amazing? Oh, help me. Eternity is not an option. Luke chapter 16. I just wanted to give you this little bit of tidbit of information because your fancy preacher on his television program wearing tight pants will not tell you this, but Jesus spoke more about God, the Holy Ghost, the kingdom, heaven and hell than any other subject. And if you do a research on it, he actually spoke more about those subjects than money. But our modern day preachers speak more about money. Come on now. And me, myself, and I. Rather than the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They talk about living life of the abundance on earth, but they don't talk to you about the judgments of eternity. They don't talk about where you're going to go and what you're going to be like when you get there. So we have things upside down. And you know we're living in the last days when folks have things upside down. But I'm here to preach to you about eternity. Luke chapter 16. I want you to go there to verse. Let's see where we're going. I want to preach the whole thing to you, but I'm going to preach verse 19. We're going to start right there. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And there was a certain rich man. A certain rich man, not named in scripture, but we know descriptively he was a rich man, which was clothed in purple. He didn't have Walmart clothes on. He had Gucci or something, Versace or Vidal Sassoon. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he was a very rich man and he partied every day. If you look at it in the Greek, it means he partied every day. And when you take America for an example and transpose and translate it, if you will, and use an example between us and the rest of the world, we party in every day. When you think about folks who spend more energy trying to carry water in a bucket to their home compared to the energy we spend in partying. Come on, somebody. That's why they're trying to get over here to America. That's why they're risking their lives, and all these Haitians now that are coming over with Cubans, come on, in the Key West, overwhelming Coast Guard and rescuers and first responders. Why? Because folks want to get over here to the party. Because we got stuff and we're living the high life. Now, listen, I'm talking in comparison to the world. Not everybody's doing too good in the United States, but in comparison, we're doing all right. And so he partied every single day. He was partying like it was 1999. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Everything was going good. Didn't have a worry in the world. Didn't have a care in the world. Had money, had stuff. He was in a pursuit of life. He was living the abundant life. Come on. Just like many people here in America, living that abundant life, living that good life, living that life that Jesus wants you to live, the happy life. He wants you to live the best life. No, Jesus does. He wants you to have some things in life, but he wants you to carry your cross. Come on. He wants you to pay your fair share of your walk with him and ministering this gospel and living right. And when you do so, it will cost you something. This easy peasy lemon squeezy Christianity's got to go. Now, I'm not talking about death wish and talking about people, living in a grave, if you will, and walking around with their face always towards the ground and humble me and humble that. I'm talking about someone who recognizes and realizes that my life is not to be partying every single day. My life is to be about plowing and to be about part of the kingdom of God. I mean, I like to be on parade, but I'm not pretty enough to be on parade, so I might as well plow. Come on now. Some of y'all can prance around in life. Some of us can't. We just got to hook up and move on and carry that load. See, we were called to be beasts of burden. We were called to be those that carry the weight of the world, to help pull in this gospel harvest. But we don't hear this preached anymore because we have a best life now, man. It's
good.
No, when you become a saved, you become saved, you become a Christian, all hell breaks loose. It's like your name is on speed dial in hell. And the devil's Rolodex only has your name in it. But our preachers won't preach this. They won't teach it. They won't teach a reality that sometimes Christianity is rough and that you've got to be on the front line. And it's a good fight of faith. We got to break this spell over the church. We got to break this spell over the pansies in the house of God. I'm looking everywhere. Because you know it's the truth. Because life ain't easy. And just because we get saved doesn't make it easier. It makes it harder. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. We've got strength that we couldn't have on our own. And we have a name that's above every name that we can call upon. The name of Jesus. Doesn't mean we're better. It just means we're going to get through it better than you. I don't need no drugs to get through. I don't need no alcohol to get through. I don't need no wacky weed to get through. Come on, somebody. I got somebody who gets me through. His name is Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Eternity's not an option. I recognize it. You say, how's that tie into my life now? Because, baby, if I keep my mind on eternity, then all the pains of the world and the things of the world will grow so strangely dim. It won't make no difference to me. 2 Peter 3:10 comes into alignment. It just don't matter because it's all going to burn up. What you going to do? Take my birthday? You remember that growing up? That's all I could say. What are you going to do, take my birthday? Because you know what? If you take my birthday, I get another birthday. It's called heaven. Woo, they'll give me more gifts there than you'll ever give me. Listen to me now. There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He partied every day, man. He was partying down. Buffet, baby. And there was a certain beggar. Everybody say beggar. He was a beggar. So we have a rich man and we have a beggar. We have one who partied all the time, and we had another who begged all the time. The contrast of life Jesus has given us here in this descriptive parable, which I believe to be a true story. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and he begged every day. He was very poor. Which was laid at his gate. Whose gate? He was laid at the gate of the rich man. And by the way, the true interpretation, it wasn't that he was laid at the gate. He was thrown at the gate. He was tossed like garbage at the gate. He was a poor man. He had no way to make it. He had no way to get to a physician. He had no way for medication and healing. He had no way for deliverance. He had no way to receive welfare. And they dumped him in front of the rich man's place. And there's so many ways I can preach this morning, but it's much like the world today. The church being the one that is full of riches and luxury. And we have the poor that's begging at the gate, that's been dumped off by the world, and we won't do anything for them. The church is more about itself and its waistline. We're more, come on somebody, please help me. We're more concerned about what we see in the mirror rather than what the word says about the world. We're more concerned about our own self than we are about the souls of men. We're more concerned as preachers of nickels and noses than we are about the souls of men. We're more care about how much more we can put in the buffet room back there in the sheep shed than we are, come on, helping the homeless and helping those that don't have anything, those that are destitute and damaged by life. We're more interested in what we can get as Christians and the medication, come on, that comes through prosperity that numbs us through the pain, when in reality, once that leaves us, we're right back in the same pain and even worse pain, because there's nothing that can take away pain like Jesus can. And so we mask it, we fake it. In reality, it's still there. And so this illustration, again, will pull me so many different ways. But the reality is there was a rich man and there was a poor man, and he was dropped off. The problem is we won't look outside our gate. We're not going to look outside of our church. We're going to focus. I'm feeling good this morning. I just love this preaching. I might get the CD myself. Is anybody here? We're more interested in what's happening in our party, more interested in our pain, more interested in what we need rather than what's outside the gate. I'm telling you, preacher, listen to me now. We're more worried about what Sister Lulu's thinking and the seances they're having to throw you out of the church. Come on, and the illegal board meetings, I know about those, that they get together to try to oust you out, and the rambling that they have, and all of it. We're more focused on that, or we're focused on the taspery of the building or the construction. We're more focused on in the house rather than what's at the gate. And what's at the gate deals with eternity. What's in the house deals with what's temporal. And we're more interested in that. We're interested in bodybuilding, not of the spirit, but of the flesh. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Preachers are more worried about image. Now, listen, I'm not talking about eating right and healthy and all that. Just hang loose. Hang on to your, you know, your beanie weenies for a second. I'm talking about the reality that I'm going to take care of what is mine so I can preserve myself and so that I can continue to fare sumptuously upon all these things because God wants me blessed. You know, sometimes we have too many obese Christians in the house of God. I'm not talking about physically, baby. I'm talking about spiritually. Just full of the stuff of the world. We need some Christian Jenny Craig, man. Watch this. Watch this. I'm trying to cool. I'm hitting the brakes. I'm pumping the gas. Watch this. Which was laid at his gate, and he was what? Full of sores. Sores from what? Injuries. Injuries from life. Injuries from poverty. Injuries from depression. Injuries from enemies. And they were laid outside the gate. They were laid outside. He was laid out the street. He was thrown there, tossed there. And so many people are tossed. I've always wanted to do this, and I probably wouldn't work in this church because you all would blow my cover. But I always wanted to do it, and Jennifer knows about this years ago. I wanted to dress up like a bum, a little more than I'm doing now. And I wanted to somehow disguise myself and lay in front of the church. And I wanted to see how many people would stop and say something to me. I haven't done it, but one day I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that some big mega church. Just go there and bum out and see what happens. I'm sure somebody would stop, but then the majority wouldn't. I know in this house, you guys would drag me in. Meet my preacher. He looks like you. Woo, somebody help me now. But he was outside there with sores. Look at 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. All he wanted was the crumbs. All he wanted was a morsel. All he wanted was just a little bit. Just give me a little bit of what you have. And the rich man refused it. Remember, this is a continuous story. It was day after day, time after time, the rich man partied and he lived it up. And we've gone to decades and time and time and time. The church is partying and growing and getting into prosperity and more about wealth and television programs and TV stations and everything that desires of our heart desire what we want to be rather than what God's heart is and what's happening outside in the gates. And here this man was, Lazarus, begging for just a morsel of food, just crumbs. The problem with today's church is we not only ignore the world, but we give them the crumbs. Is anybody here? When our mission and mandate is not to give them the crumbs, but to bring them to the table. To open the door to the house of God and say, I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're a zebra, I don't care if you don't know your gender, I don't care which way you flow, I don't care which way you go. The table is open for you. All you have to do to check in is to give your heart to Christ. I'll offer you a meal to bring you to the Lamb and give you a seat at the table. But there's some obligations for you to stay. So don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about this diversity gospel, this false gospel that is out there that you can just come like you want to come and just do what you want to do and think you're saved. You didn't hear me. I'm talking about outreach and opening the door to to humanity out there that's hurting and saying, I'm not going to give you crumbs. I'm going to give you the full monte. I'm going to give you the full meal. You're going to eat with me. But the church doesn't want to do that. Refuses to do it. Why? Because it's all about us. It's about our feasting. It's about all of what we want and the fantasies that we have. I'm telling you, I'm preaching, boy. And folks ain't listening. Church folks, pastors aren't listening. Because they've been taught that it's all about them. What can I leave a legacy of my name? I don't care if you remember my name or not. Because you know who remembers my name? God. That's all that matters. You're going to forget about me anyways. Be down the road and go, what was that, man, what's that guy's name? He's just always screaming on that radio program. What was his name? What? Are you here? The same thing with you? Oh, man, I got to go. Watch this. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Let's be descriptive here, folks. Dogs were considered the lowest of animals in Israel. This is an insult. Not only was he thrown to the curb in front of a rich man, that's an insult too. To lay at the feet of a rich man's house and to watch him step over this beggar, and then for the beggar just to say, give me the crumbs underneath your table, and to be denied that, and then you're laying there and you can't move and you can't shoo off the dogs because they're licking your sores. Do you understand the depth of this? How deep in trouble this man was? How deep in trouble the world is? I don't care what they look like. I don't care if they look like Lisa Marie Presley or somebody else that's full of luxury and wealth and beauty and all these things that we come to admire and to idolize in America. It makes no difference. They all have sores without God. They're all begging for bread and they don't know it. They don't even know it. The richest of the world are begging for bread and they don't even know it. We've got the bread of life. His name is Jesus. But we won't warn men. We won't tell them about certain judgment in eternity. We won't talk to them about it. We talk about how blessed they can be and get even more blessed. Sometimes I get sick of the blessings that are in the house of God. Just listening to people and preachers, and that's all they talk about. And that's all they worry about. How am I going to make it? Is anybody here? Instead of saying, how can I help my brother make it? How can I carry that folk over the line? How can I reach the least, the lost, and the last of the world? How can I help mama over there in Nigeria and put a roof on her house? How can I be a blessing to somebody else instead of worrying about myself? I'm telling you, God's flipping the tables. He's turning this thing on the church. We're going to find out what it's like to live in poverty, and we need it. I said the church needs it. I'm talking church in general. I'm talking about fat cats. I'm talking about those who don't think they need a physician. I'm talking to those dudes. You know who I'm talking about. Mr. and Mrs. Bling Bling. Wouldn't lift a hand to help somebody if they had to. They'd get one of their servants to do it. I don't care how blessed, how big this church ever gets, you're going to find a shovel in my hand. You're going to find something in my hand, a hammer in my hand. I'm going to be doing something. I may not do it right, but I'll be swinging. Is anybody here? Watch this. The dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried. I want you to underline that he was carried. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Don't have time to go into the theology of it all, but let's say he was in heaven for the time before Jesus resurrected and did a mighty work of raising the dead and destroying the chasm, if you will, with the cross. That's all I can give you for that, for this moment. But the beggar died and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. Notice they were together at that moment equal. The rich man was wealthy. He had all the stuff, the trinkets and the treasures that life could ever give. He filled his waistline with blessings. While another contrast is the man who begged and couldn't even get the crumbs off of his table, couldn't even get help from this man, but they both died. See, this is the point I want to make to us today, that we're all going to die someday. Now, you're not going to hear that preached. No, church, don't talk about death. I'm about to run around. I love this so much. Because the people are so mad about it right now. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. Don't eat bad. Baby, death is a part of life. It's a reality. I don't want to die. I don't want to go early. I don't want anything like that to happen in my life. I want everything to be right on time. I want to be raptured out of here. I don't want to feel no pain. No. Not one boo-boo.
Please. I recognize I don't have any desire to be a martyr in the sense of being a martyr. I'm married. I know what it feels like. Come on. I'm lighting you up. But I recognize and realize, watch this, that death will come one day. If it's not by grave, it will come by rapture, which you got a long ways to go, so hang in here. Don't worry about it. You ain't leaving in March or whatever these people are saying, these nutheads, man. It's just, oh. One day I'm going to make a video for 3 or 4 hours on this. It's insanity. But watch this, because I know one day, either way, I'm checking out and checking in, then it causes me to live a life that's a lot more different as though if I didn't pay attention to eternity. Watch this. It doesn't mean I'm afraid of death. It doesn't mean I'm afraid of eternity. It just makes me realize I got a certain time on my hand. I got a certain ability I need to release, a certain anointing, a certain assignment, a certain message. I got to reach a certain beggar. I only have so long, and only you have so long, and you can't opt out of eternity, no matter if you're born again or not. So if we recognize and realize that, then let's be a church of eternity. Let's be a people of eternity where we push towards that mark. We push towards the future. And we say, it don't make no difference what happens in my natural, normal life. Eternity is my home with God. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Because it's foreign to our ears. Because our preachers won't talk about death. Because we're more worried about holding on to life. He that holds on to his life will lose it. But you lose your life for Christ. The cross is not a sign of luxury. The cross was a sign of pain. It's a sign of suffering. It's a sign of death. But on the other side of the cross is resurrection. The message is a wonderful message. It's a powerful, balanced message. And when I look into the light in the eyes of eternity, I'll work harder on this life that I'm living in now. Because I realize someday I'm going to be like a vapor. I'm gone. Should the Lord not allow me to take the big ride someday? And same for you. So what are you going to do, Mr. Magoo, with your life? What you going to do, Mrs. Magoo, with your life? What are you going to do in the light of eternity? What kind of church are we going to be? Are we going to be the church of the me, myself, and I? Are we going to be the church of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and reach everybody that we possibly can with every ounce of energy we have? With every nickel, dime, penny, dollar, it makes no difference. We're going to reach the world. Well, I'm preaching good. And I only got started. It's the reality of what we're living in. And I'm not a person that sits there and dwells about passing and picking out coffins and flowers and what they're going to sing. I'm not into that. In fact, I'm looking for the economy chunking in and getting out of their thing. Come on, somebody, help me. I'm not looking for a legacy to everybody remembers, wow, that was a beautiful funeral. Oh, it was really touching. Chunk, leave an offering and go preach. Chunk, leave an offering and go preach. Because you ain't got to worry about me. Come on, somebody. And I ain't going to worry about you. I'm going to say, well, there goes another lily in the valley. I mean, they're gone. No, come on, church. Somebody said, golly, he ain't doing my eulogy. Well, close it up. Let's go eat. No, I'm not saying that. I will honor. But you get my... Yeah, that's pretty funny, isn't it? Jesus wept, so do we. Boom, it's over. Let's go. Yeah, drop them. Plant a tree over them. Let life take, you know, let life take root. Are you here today? I'm not insensitive. Don't get me wrong.
But you get my point. We're more worried about those things than we are about eternity and what God has planned for our lives and what's before us. Again, I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want you going nowhere. But I want you to do is go into the harvest field in the light of eternity, realizing eternity is not an option. You will get there someday. If you know that, go do something. Preach, reach, do what you got to do. Put tracks everywhere you possibly can. Throw them in a coffin. Do what you got to do. Somebody's going to get in that coffin. Don't worry once you're done there, because they're going to steal something out of it. No offense to all the undercarriers around, but I do wonder. And it came to pass. Yeah, just chunk them. And it came to pass, well, that's what they did in the old days, that the beggar died. And it was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. Well, I'm going to tell you something. One man died and was carried. The other man died and was buried. I'd rather have been the one that got carried than the one that got buried. Because the one that got carried was carried by angels. The one that was buried just slipped right into hell. Do you see it? And Jesus has given us a vivid contrast that preachers won't preach today, because it's all about life. It's all about everything above ground. It's all about everything now. Rather than taking this parable and recognizing, realizing I can be carried. Yes, that's my goal. But I can also be buried if I don't live right. And that there's others that will be buried, if you will. I'm using as an illustration of going to hell. And my job is to get you to be carried. I like that better, don't you? And in hell. Listen to these words. I want you to see this, because this is the doctrine I was speaking of. We don't preach on the doctrine of hell anymore. Because most preachers, listen to me, preachers, most preachers do not preach on hell because they don't believe it. They don't believe God Almighty, loving God. Remember God, Cracker Barrel God? With the long keep on trucking beard? That God that they preach, he don't throw nobody in hell. Well, the truth of the matter is God don't throw anybody in hell. You put yourself there. Because hell wasn't created for man. It was created for the devil. But man rejects the salvation message and the grace of God given by Christ and the blood of the Lamb shed upon the cross of Calvary. By confession, salvation is granted. By repentance and turning away from our sins and embracing the grace that God has given us, we are born again. The Bible is explicit on how you get to heaven. But we preach people into heaven, but we never tell them to fear hell. We never tell them that you could backslide your way into hell. We won't tell the sinner that he's full of trash. Come on, help me now and sin. We won't tell the backslider he's in danger. Because we want everybody, number one, to love us. You see, we say we're doing this for God's favor so everybody will love God. Preacher, you're a liar. I believe you water down the gospel so folks are like you because you're afraid of folk. Let me get up here where I'm not afraid of you. We're afraid of folks, and therefore we shield the truth. We shield them from reality because we want everybody to love us. Now, I love you. I want you to love me. But if you don't love me, too bad. You got to deal with God. And the reason why you probably don't like me is because I tell you the truth. And Jesus said that's the way it happens when folks tell you the truth. You just don't like them. They want to kill him for what? The truth. See, the truth doesn't make you popular. The truth makes you a target. I'm looking at you. Is anybody here? You know it's the truth. And we don't want to tell nobody about it. Now listen, I'm not talking about walking into service every single Sunday and all you hear is about hell and get beat up by it. That surely doesn't happen in this house. But you know there are some folks that do go to the extreme. But what I do say is we should have a balanced diet. talk about heaven and talk about hell. I think as a preacher, I ought to be preaching and teaching on the majority of the subjects that Jesus did. He's my master, isn't he? He is our teacher, isn't he? Then I ought to follow him. But we don't follow him in the American church because watch this. Hell don't sell. You ought to write that down if you're a preacher. Hell don't sell. That's why we don't preach it. But booty does and body does. Somebody help me. And all the other stuff that's shaking and going on, that sells. Now, if that's too offensive for you, I'm sorry. But it's the fact. It's the truth. And it's sickening. It's all about lust and flesh and what can I get and how much can I get it and how long can I get it? You know what's the truth. I get so tired of hearing the garbage. I don't want to know what you and your hookup did. I don't want to know what you're chasing and what you're after. I'm being nice now. I don't want to get censored. I don't want to get X'd and canceled. Are you here? We're more worried about these things that are temporal. You hear it all the time with these preachers of all the stuff they have they want to talk about. Look, if God has blessed you, won't you shut your mouth? Let me just get plain. I'm going right back here. Won't you shut your mouth? I don't want to really hear about your blessings. I really don't. Now, Pastor, that's an oxymoron. That's different. Yeah, that's different. And I mean it. I don't want to hear about your blessings. You don't want to hear about how many souls have you won for Christ? How many dollars have you gave to world missions? How many applications have you filled out for visas to go around the world? Do you got a passport or not? Are you involved in your local church? Do you care about outreach? Do you feed the hungry? Do you clothe the naked? Do you visit those who are in prison? Do you even give a rip about those that are incarcerated? I want to know. I don't want to know about your blessings. Big deal, you got stuff. You can't take it with you anyways. I preached a funeral one time. They threw a hammer in the guy's coffin because he did contract work. I'm like, what'd you waste that hammer for? It's a good hammer, Brother Curtis, but he put it in there thinking he's going to use it in heaven. No, Jesus has already gone and prepared a place for us. He's already finished. Oh, you guys, come on now. Don't go in a coma because you need some sugar. Just hang in here. Hang in here. It's the truth. We don't preach about it. We don't talk about it. We shield our people from this reality of life and death. Because, well, no preacher, you see, it's got to all be about positivity. You got to think positive, 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 positive thinking, positive living, positive, 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 positive. Well, how many of y'all know life is full of negativity? But let me give you something else. Life is full of what? Ready? Here it is. I'm going to cuss. Reality. They pass and people pass. Like I wrote in that little letter to the church, I've never seen people pass like we're seeing in our lives. Never. Never have I seen the great and the small passing from this earth. Because eternity is calling folks home. Why? Because eternity is at the door. So what should we do as preachers and as Christians? We should think about eternity. We should live life in the light of eternity and warn men of their sin and warn men of hell and embrace heaven and say, gift, the gift of eternal life. See, they got helicopters flying over right now. You hear that? Even the Marines want to know. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Watch this, verse 23. And in hell, everybody say in hell. Where did he go? He went to hell. Hell's real. Hell's real. Jesus, listen, he didn't only reference hell. Jesus described hell. If you were lying about something, you couldn't describe it too good, could you? I was never a good liar. I'd mess it up somewhere in my story. And I've been around a lot of liars before, and they always screw it up. But he went into great detail about hell. He said that hell was an eternal torment. torment. You can look up scripture and find it yourself. I'm not going to teach this. He spoke that it was eternal torment. He also taught that it was unquenchable fire. He also said it's a place where the worm dieth not. It means your soul don't die. Your soul does not die. He said it was a place where people would gnash their teeth in anguish and regret. He also taught that there was a place of no return. You don't get a do-over. You don't get a, wait a minute, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. I was just on my way to church. As soon as I got done from the strip bars, headed... I was going to go, as soon as the gentleman club meeting was over, I was headed to prayer. You don't get a do-over like a video game. He taught that. There was no redo and there was no return. Not even to warn your loved ones. And if you're any inclination, any thought in your mind, any teaching in your mind from anybody that teaches you, you can talk to the dead. They're full of devils. You don't talk to the dead because the dead don't talk to you. The dead are dead. They're gone. The communication is over. They're either hollering in praise or hollering in hell. One or the tether. You better get away from these people and teach you how to pray to saints and all that craziness. You don't pray to no saint. You pray to the Savior. I don't have time to open up that can, but I'm going to move forward. You can't warn nobody. He called hell a place of outer darkness. He compared it to Gehenna, which would be the trash heap outside of Jerusalem where maggots abounded. And they burnt their rubbish. Jesus talked about hell very vividly. Verse 23, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. I want you to see something in the doctrine of hell. He could see. Jesus said so. So a man that thinks he's going to go to hell and have no conscience and have no vision is a liar. He will see. God will make it plain to the man who goes to hell why you're in hell. You will see it. If you could see heaven and the rivers of living water and all the other great things that God has provided for man, you can see hell. And the doctrine that we're preaching today is no worry of hell. There's no fear of hell. The hell don't exist. And I've given statistics how the American preacher has moved away from preaching about hell. Doesn't even believe in it. Again, he's a good God of heaven. Why would he do so? Well, baby, there's a payday someday. It don't matter how good you think you are, how much money you have, the prestige, the wealth, all the things of a privileged life. If you don't know Christ, the Savior, you're bound for hell. We don't tell that no more because we want people to like us. We want people to love our pastor. Come see our pastor. He's cute. Come see our pastor. He's really a nice guy. Folks, y'all looking at me like a deer staring at headlights. You know it's the truth. People go to church based on what they feel, the fuzzies in the house. They listen to who they want to because it makes them feel good. Very few people want to hear truth because truth is an antidote. Sometimes truth is like surgery. It may be a Band-Aid one day, but another day it's a tourniquet. And we don't like it. One day you may be like getting your tooth filled. And then another day it may feel like an amputation. But we don't want truth because it offends us. Woe to those who offenses come, and they will come. But don't be offended by the truth. Deal with it. Let it confront you, and you confront it. And so he lifted up his eyes, being in tremendous pleasure. Oh, that ain't what the Bible says, but that's what your preachers will teach you. No, he was in torment. And seeth Abraham afar off. There you go, he could still see. And Lazarus in his bosom. What else did he have? He had full recognition. He knew who Lazarus was. I'm preaching better than most preachers will preach to you about hell. He could see him and then he knew. He had a conscience.
And he cried and said, what did he do? He cried so he could speak. Jesus is teaching us this doctrine that in hell a man can see, a man can think, a man can recognize, a man can know, a man can feel, and a man can speak. That's powerful. Well, you don't hear that preached today because hell's a figment of the imagination and the devil's just this guy that's red with a suit on and a pitchfork and all these other things that we make him out to be. Hell is real. And we don't preach it to our people. We don't preach it to the church to keep eternity in mind. Not that I'm fearful of going there and losing what God has given me. No, you don't understand. It just makes me thank God I ain't going there as I look towards heaven and say, thank God I'm headed there. I'm going to keep from whoever I can from going there down yonder, and I'm going to try to bring them with me up yonder. Do you understand the difference of what I'm preaching to you? I've got no fear of slipping, falling back, but I recognize I can. And if you don't think so, you're just dumb. Buddy, I can rip this jacket off in 2 seconds and go down to the crystal slipper. Come on, somebody, and belly up against that bar and give me a couple bimbos. Why? I got the will to do it if I wanted to and say to hell with it all. Tell me you don't have the same ability? Yes, you do. The Holy Ghost will warn me. The Holy Ghost will do everything he can. He'll grab me by the nape of the neck and he'll tell me, don't do it. But I can say, I'm doing it. And I can say, forget all this. And I can lose what God has given me. That's going to make some people mad, but I can give a rip. But the Bible teaches it very plain. But because I have a recognition and a reality and a conscience, and I realize that my alternative of leaving God would be hell, I'm not doing it. Number one, because he paid a price for me and I love him too much and he loved me too much. Number two, I don't want to burn. Is that a good enough reason? That's a good reason not to get saved. I don't have no problem with somebody getting saved because they don't want to go to hell. That's fine. Then live a life so you don't go to hell. See, this is the Bible Belt and somebody's getting fired up. They're just getting, woo, stirred up, couldn't see straight. I know it. I can feel it. I don't give a rip. It don't make no difference. You're not gonna look at me in eternity and say, why didn't you tell me? The Bible's plain that if a man doesn't warn a sinner in his ways, the blood of that man is upon your hands. I want to be clean. I want this house clean. I want this ministry clean. I want you to be clean of the blood of the unrighteous. Watch this. We don't preach this. It's too scary. He saw it. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. There you go. I want you to send somebody else that he may dip his tip of his finger. Watch this. Notice this. Not only did he speak, he also prayed. Do you know people pray in hell? Yes, they do. They pray. The doctrine of hell proves to you that they pray, but it don't mean nothing. It don't go nowhere. What good did that prayer do? Let's find out and see. You got another 10, 20 minutes? And to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things. You had it made. You had it made in the shade. You had everything that you needed. James chapter 5, verse 5. Read the whole chapter. But it talks about being ready for the slaughter by filling up yourself. Living the life of pleasure. But being nourished in your hearts for the day of slaughter. Read it. People are building themselves up with luxury and life and just everything. The good times are rolling. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. In other words, you can't get over.
So they that which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. In other words, there's no way out. There's no way to return. Then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send to him my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they do come unto this place of torment. And Abraham saith, watch this, unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Now, what is he saying? He's saying they have scripture. They have the word. They have scripture. Let them hear them. And he responds, and he said, my father, nay, father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. So in other words, show us some type of miracle, show us something incredible, show us something supernatural. What is Jesus' response? And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one would rose from the dead. Though one rose from the dead. In other words, signs and wonders and supernatural things, people say, well, that will bring people to the church. Not necessarily. God is doing miracles every day. It's a miracle this country hasn't blown up yet. It's a miracle the economy's still going. It's a miracle we still have leaders that can say words barely. Come on now, without me going into detail. It's a miracle. We haven't been nuked yet, but it's coming. A financial holocaust, but it's coming. It's a miracle we haven't seen the wild, wild west in full display in Congress. Just doing duels on the White House lawn or the Capitol. Come on now. Lynchings and all this other crazy stuff that men do when they're mad at each other. But that ain't enough. The prosperity of being a rich man in a rich country and all the blessings we have, that ain't enough. It's not enough for our preachers. We get all these blessings, man. There's so much money flowing into the houses of God. So many people are blessed. And we won't preach on the reality, the greatest reality of eternity. We think it's an option, and it's not. We've got to warn folks. You say, church, what does it matter to me? I don't have a broadcast. I don't have a microphone. I have all these things. Yeah, you have a mouth. You're not called to win everybody, but you're called to win somebody. You have an assignment, and your assignment ought to first be, what is the condition of their soul? Now, I understand, please don't take this to the other extreme, that as soon as you walk up to somebody, you tell them they're going to hell. I didn't say that. You work your way in the relationship. Sometimes that may be the only thing you can say. I understand that. They may be at the edge of eternity, and you have to warn them. I get it. Please be balanced in your thinking. You let the Holy Ghost lead you. Some people God won't even have you go to because their assignment is for somebody else. So be mature about it. But eternity is not an option. And so going back to the beginning of my message where the Lord showed me and spoke to me concerning the passing of Lisa Marie Presley, it hit me really hard. And I realized in my moment, in my time of life, in my generation, now is the time more than ever to witness to anybody and everybody I can. I don't care if you don't have a microphone or a platform, you have a mouth. Get you some tracks. Do whatever thing, everything within your power, and greater than all of it, pray. Don't worry about what you're going to do and how God's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. If you're watching right now or listening right now, and you've never made the decision to follow Christ as Lord and Savior, today's the day to do it. You may not have tomorrow. I can't promise you that. Your doctor can't promise you that. Your lawyer and your insurer can't promise you tomorrow. You better put your faith in God. And he loves you. And he never created hell for you. He created heaven in that place he wants you to be forever. If you're backslidden today and you've just focused on eternity or life and you didn't even care about eternity, just life. You've been caught up, and sometimes it's been honest. We've just been caught up in life. Think about eternity.
And then in the light of that, work hard for the kingdom of God, because eternity is closer than you think. Father, we love you. Thank you for this message. We thank you for your amazing grace and amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I love you all. You be blessed. I will see you Wednesday.